my goodness, there are just so many things that are just manifesting themselves in and around our lives. And we keep asking the question, Lord, when are you coming back? Why are you prolonging this thing? I'm like, dear Lord, because these are truly perilous times. Amen. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. The message called today, The Last Days. We've been hearing about it for years, the Hart brothers, concerning the last days. But there's something to the last days that folks fail to glean from. When we talk about the last days, we spend most of our time thinking about what folks are doing on the outside. But see, we are in perilous times, and these times, I can almost say the Bible says God tests no man. But it's a trial and tribulation state where we are in. I'm sure that's why Paul made some of the most powerful, prolific statements concerning the Word of God that we've ever heard. I hear that scripture. I'm not remembering where it is for sure, but I hear it in my spirit. It says, for I have learned to be content in whatever state I am in. The word content doesn't mean to accept it. It means to be, in the Greek, it means to be strong. And when you hear in what state I'm in, it doesn't mean country. It means in whatever condition or peril that comes my way. I've learned that I've got to be strong in the midst of it. Amen. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, at first verse, it reads, this also, that in the what? Last days, perilous times shall come. Well, those are times are translated seasons. Because there seems to be strange things. One month there's a lot of shootings. The next month there's a lot of car accidents. The next month there's airplane crashes. And every season there seems to be something different taking place. But it has the ability to affect our spiritual being. And when we talk about perilous times, we talk about the things that are going on out there. We talk about the rash of shootings, and we talk about the airplane crashes, and we talk about the drive-bys, and we talk about the beatings, and we talk about the stampedes, people stampeding, and we talk about all these things. We're worried about what's going on in Korea with the guy that's doing the missile test, but you can't stop him.
Right.
So why break sweat over something you can't control?
Amen.
That's what Timothy's trying to tell us here. Let us know here. We know already what we're in. The problem is we haven't come to the conclusion who we are. How many heard me? Because when you come to the conclusion who you are, you stand strong in the midst of whatever your adversity is.
Amen.
Not taking the power and the glory of God lightly.
Amen.
This I know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, you know when this was written, right? Got news for you. There would have been no reason for Timothy to talk about perilous times that had already been there.
Exactly.
Sorry. Quiet in here now. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, it says, turn away from. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall manifest unto all men, as theirs will also. I hear this verse now. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. All these things that are taking place around us and in front of us and behind us and to us is to affect who we are in God. It's to steal the integrity of God out of your life. It's to steal your peace and your faith and your confidence in who your God is. Amen. And it just means things are not going to get any better. They're only going to get worse. But you know what the good thing is, Brother Joe? They can get worse all around us, but if we have learned to be strong,
man,
regardless of the circumstance, it doesn't affect our spirit. When things begin to affect your spirit, you lose your ability to have joy. And if you lose your ability to have joy, you automatically will lose your strength. For the Bible says, for the joy of the Lord is your
strength.
If you lose it, you got nothing. So here we are in these perilous times, all these crazy things happening. Men coveting after this and coveting after that. You know, and I kind of got angry one day. I heard a young man preaching about how, talking about the scripture where they went into the house and led the silly women captive, and he just went a whole different way with that. And I go, that's not, oh, Lord Jesus. Well, see how fast I'm going today? I was upstairs in my office. I got here early today.
5 o'clock.
About 7 o'clock. 7:15, something like that. And it wasn't because I wanted to be. And I walked around up there and in my office, and Dominic, he was crawling between the chairs. And I said, Lord, I wish he'd crawl himself asleep. But that was far, that wasn't going to happen. I want you to get a clear-cut understanding of what these verses are talking about, because it's important. It affects you. But the thing about it is, it's the way you allow it to affect you.
Right.
You know that scripture we always quote, I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. But why, what's going on? It sounds good coming out off the lips.
All right.
Oh boy. Listen to this. You got your Bibles open, right? Verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come. Difficult times will be hard to bear. Stress, great stress, and trouble. I got all this stuff broken down in my little pastor's manual, but this would be easier. Because if I get up there, I won't get through this message. And nobody argue about it, so. Read along with me now. Now, this is how we're going to do it. You read verse 1. Read verse 1 out loud. What now?
Just know also that in the last days shall come.
But understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times. Why is it dangerous? Because of the stress and the anxiety and the trouble that we're under, seeing it, hearing it,
right,
sensing it, feeling it, and experiencing it. Makes it perilous. Read verse 2.
For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous of
For people will be lovers. Not, see, it says men there, but it really means people. For people. Who is he talking about? Not just folks we call worldly folks, but it's talking about church folks. You got to understand something. This Bible was written to church folks.
Right.
Folks that don't know Jesus, just read it. Folks that know Jesus, hold it in their spirits. It becomes their life. For people will be lovers of self. Listen to this. Narcissistic, bam. Here it is, right here, Sister Lorraine. Self-centered. When it becomes all about their walk with God and not yours. I'm the big kahuna. If you don't do it the way I say do it, then it ain't right. When God is saying, I am the head. Anything that operates outside of me is a freak. Oh, Lord. Don't get in trouble now, Mother Ella. Stay self-focused. Then it says, lovers of money, impelled by greed. I just got through counseling with some folks on the phone. They couldn't figure out why they were going through all these financial difficulties all of a sudden. I told them, I said, let me tell you, for one thing, you have decided that it was more important for you to hold on to your tithe and do something else with it than give it to God like you have been doing for years. Oops. Oh, that's me. That's not me. You asked me. I didn't call you. You called me. Be different if I had called you. You called me. You have, that's what you have, are impelled and driven by greed because now you think you've got to have it. You don't have no confidence and trust in God to supply your needs. Okay. Boastful. You've seen a lot of that. Boastful. Then they get arrogant about who they are, what they think they are anyway. I've met preachers that are just so arrogant. Johnny, I go, man, bye. I don't need you in my world. So you keep it moving. Revelers. Oh, this is a bad one right here. Disobedient to parents. That's part of perilous times. Because children, not just children, but even young adults, are disobedient to their parents. Because they've come to a stage in their life where they think they know more. Amen. Favorite saying my mother used to say, I can't say it up in here, I can paraphrase though. I brought you into this world and I can take it out. And every chance she got, she proved it, Carlos. She taught me not to be disobedient. Now you can't touch your kids. Somebody see you doing it, they're going to report you. And they don't have none. Right, you just have to report me. You can hear my kids screaming from over in that radio room. David, please. I just go to the front of the platform and go. Not one. One, two, three. All three of y'all. Amen. Our kids are disobedient. And we defend our children. They're the greatest children. Let me tell you what I found out. Once my sons left my face for my presence, I had no earthly idea what they were doing.
Right, yes. Amen.
So anything somebody told me, Rev, that they saw them doing, was possibly the truth.
Yes.
Right.
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 But instead of me checking them and asking them, is it such and such? You just believe everything somebody say. Da 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 da. Okay.
Come on.
See, they don't believe in that verse. When you are good to your parents in the Old Testament, it says that you shall have long life.
Come on, come on.
Oh, it's about to get hot up in here now. You wonder why so many people leaving here?
Oh, yeah. Right.
40 and 50. Been healthy all their lives, all of a sudden.
Yeah.
If they had a chance to check back and see what they did to their parents, be not deceived. I told my daughter, she was asking me something. I said, let me tell you something about God. He gonna get his.
Amen.
She said, well, I said, he gonna get his because it belonged to him in the first place. And if you cut him off, well, I'm kind of believe you going to get cut off. It's going to be when you least expect it, too.
Right.
Let me get off the kids. I should have been on them when we had about 90 of me here last week. Ungrateful and unholy and profane. Verse 3. And they will be unloving. That means they're devoid of natural or human affection. Just, you ever just met some folks just plain out mean? I don't care what you do, they just mean. And in a heartbeat, they'll quote you some of the most prolific scriptures you ever heard in your life. Tell you what you need to do to have faith and to be confident. But they mean as a rattlesnake. And I'll be asking them, where is your God? I had a lady come to me a few years ago. And she comes to me, and she knew I was a minister. She didn't know I was a pastor. She says, Reverend, I got a question for you. Tell these folks that tithing ain't scriptural. I said, are you asking me that? Who do you want me to tell? Them. And they laughing. You know, because she know they know she just because they set her up. They say, ask Red. I said, prove to me where it ain't scriptural. Well, my pet. You already messed up. You prove to me where it's not scriptural.
Right.
She said, well, we're done. Because I see that you have an argumentative spirit and you will argue about something that you heard your pastor say, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent. And I'm here to bowl and enjoy myself and not fight with you over something that you evidently don't know anything about anyway because you haven't researched it for yourself. Oh, well. I saw her Wednesday. And I looked at my wife. I said, you know what? God bless her. Please bless her. Because everything come out of her mouth is about God. But she is as mean as a rattlesnake. Oh, well. Getting close to being done. Brother Andy, he's left. Where was I?
Verse 3.
And they will be unloving, devoid of natural human affection, calloused and inhumane, and irreconcilable. When it talks about irreconcilable, it's talking about people that don't want to say, let's work this out.
Right.
I might be wrong, you might be wrong, I might be right, but here, let's come together. I'm talking about saints.
Right.
Let's work this out. But instead of working it out, one of decide, I'm going to change my seat. They don't sit on that side. and you're going to sit on this side, and you still got to look at each other. You still know he there, or you know that she there. So what has changed? Now you brought that anger into the midst of the congregation. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Now folks sitting around you getting angry, and they trying to figure out, what is this? Because your praise ain't godly. Your praise is selfish. And it has the same ability to affect as godly praise does. I better leave some of this stuff alone. Malicious gossips. Made my nose run. Malicious. They put the word malicious on there for a reason. Because when it talks about malicious, we know what gossiping is.
Slander.
But when it talks about malicious gossips, these are folks that are determined to make you believe a lie rather than the truth. And they know they're lying. But they're going to press that issue and press that issue, and they're going to call you, and they're going to, well, the new thing is text. Because now if I text you, most cases, I don't have to worry about you getting back with me on it. Just maliciously talking and gossiping and worrying and slandering folks' names. You know what I mean? It's a lot of slander when you can get on TV and talk about another preacher that you don't even know, but that you know of. That's called slander. But church do it all the time. We do it all the time. If that man wants to preach on prosperity, let him preach. If he believes that water opens eyes, let him put it on it. You're not there. Serve your God in your house. And stop slandering folks with all that malicious gossip. All right. This is a different message, ain't it? I like this part. Are devoid of self-control. Since we're not been practicing self-control lately. I really had to practice self-control. Especially when I'm driving. Especially when I'm driving. Since the lights have been out.
Yes. Oh.
All I hear God say, self-control. Self-control. I can't tell you how many times I got flipped off this week. We were going to Elder Joe's funeral. Lady flipped me off. Turn signal on. I get over. I guess she figured I shouldn't have been trying to get over. So she waits till she gets next to me. I'm leaving the freeway, and she just looks right at me and goes, "Bink." And she just held it there. You know what? I'm doing better than I used to, because I would have been late to Brother Elder Joe's homegoing, because I would have swerved to get back on the freeway. Oh, no, you didn't. I didn't cut you off. I didn't do nothing bad to you, and you just, hello, I'm back. Hey, I told you. I've got so hot, I've had guys just do all kinds of stuff. Call me all kind of roller, call me all kind of this and that. And didn't think I'm going to let them go. I chased the guy all the way down Davidson about a few years ago. Down 75 to Davidson, and he jumped on the lodge, and I jumped on the lodge. And by the time I caught up with him, God said, what if he a preacher? I said, Lord, but what if he ain't? He said, it don't matter whether he is or if he's not. You're the one that's out of order. The word that I'm establishing in your life tells you that you got to do better than he did. I said, oh, man. is happening is, like we talk about, folks. I love that saying Kirk Franklin says all the time. Everybody want to talk about God, but nobody wants to talk about Jesus. Because yeah. Everybody talks about God. I don't care what they doing. You can't separate God and Jesus. They have a form, an outward form of what they assume God is. But they're really denying the power, or the translation of the word power, the love of God therein, because they've allowed their faith to be salutated by their flesh or their human nature. It says holding to a form of outward godliness or religion. Right. I don't remember that story, Pastor Howard. Remember the story used to tell about the donkey or something, or the mule? And the little boy says, they was walking next to the mule, and his father had religion or something, and he looked at his father and he said, "You know what, Dad? Mule got religion." And his dad said, "Why you say that?" "Because his face looks just like yours." We have come to a place in the church where we can pretend that we love God, but you push the wrong button and you will find out what kind of love we got for you. God is talking about change. These are perilous times that we're in, and it's to affect the character and the nature of God that's in us. It's up to us to hold fast to our profession of faith and keep God strong in our lives so that people will understand, you can push me, but I won't give up. You can talk about me, but I won't talk back. You can press on me, but I won't press back. You can do all manner of things against me, but I won't do it. And also, like little brother, little John, you can attack my body, but I won't stop praising him. I won't stop praising him. All that faith they talk about, it nullifies. Fire baptized, Holy Ghost filled, and go right out in the parking lot and see you scratch my car and call you everything but a child of God. And you just say, "Well, I guess you left your Holy Ghost in the building." It's funny, but it's the truth. These type of things are happening every day. And it's not right. It's time for us, as the people of God, to uphold a standard of God. Yes. Yes. God is trying to do something in the earth. He's already doing it. He just needs a body of believers to include themselves in it. God is creating a corporate being, a corporate person in the earth. And we are that corporate believer, that corporate body. But what we've done, we've taken the different parts of the bodies and we set it apart like it's greater than the other. And it's not. And that's why times are so perilous. It's not because of them folks, it's because of us. The Bible says, love them that hate you. But you give me the right moment, and I'll shower you with some hate. Just because you hurt me. You broke my heart, or you did something really bad to me. We don't assume that it's hate, but it is. Anything that's out of the context of God's love is what? I'm closing after this verse. This is verse 6. "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with divers lust." They talk about silly women. But there's something deeper to this than just silly women. When he was talking about these women were already in a place where they thought they knew everything about the things of God, but they weren't worshiping God in the reality of who God was. So what he was saying was, people were able, false prophets and this and that, were able to go up in their houses or into their fortresses or into their spiritual domain and transform them into what they wanted them to be. Y'all didn't hear me on that. What do we have today? We have the different prophets and apostles and teachers and pastors and evangelists taking a self-made, self-credited word and spreading it around silly women, or not women in particular, but it's talking about a type of a church. Creating diversity among churches. You don't think there's diversity among churches? There he is. Anytime you can tell me that Jesus is the Father and the Son, and that you ain't going to heaven, but I'm going, because I'm part of this group, that's called diversity. And we created that because they went into these houses and created an atmosphere of truth when it's not a whole truth. It's only a half truth. And you know what the Bible says? People would rather believe a lie than the truth. Because the lie always tickles the flesh. By divers' lust. When it talks about divers' lust, it's talking about interpretation of different types of things that you think you've got to have. Or things you convince yourself that you need. How many of you talk yourself into going buy something after you got it and said, I don't need this? Now you got it tucked away in a closet someplace, but you ain't going to give it to nobody because you bought it for you. So here you are. Lust just talks meaning desires. That wasn't fancy. Just desires. But when it talks about divers, it's about all kinds of desires. Oh Lord, can I tell you about some of them? Well, you might not like me no more. Amen. For among them are those who, on their way, in their home, went into their homes and captivated them because they were morally weak and weighted down by so many other burdens that were in their lives. They were willing to listen to anything. How many people you met like that? People who were once born-again believers, now atheists, because they were going through so much and somebody came to them with a truth or half-truth that sounded so inviting.
Right.
And my question for that is, how can you believe that there's no God? That means you got to believe in something. There ain't no God. How can you believe there's no God? You said his name. I've seen folks healed, delivered, and set free by the power of God in this ministry, and seen them transform themselves into Jehovah's Witnesses. Because somebody came with a word of desire that tantalized their flesh to a point that they were brainwashed. Folks, this thing ain't no joke. God is expecting something out of us. He's expecting more than what we think we ought to owe him. And we will be held accountable. We will be held accountable for all deeds done in the body. And that ain't just talking about this body. It's talking about done to the whole body of Christ. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning, you know, those were Pharaoh's guys, his magicians.
Yeah.
Now, they seen these snakes. Anytime you see a snake, you know if it's real. Because in actuality, when they saw these snakes, they were huge. And it brought fear to their heart. But they denied that these were real snakes, so they laid down their own. And the snakes of God just kind of just did gobble. You know how a snake just usually, as it eats, you ever seen in history? They just went. I was like. Folks, people think God is a joke. He's really not. And the thing they want to say, well, if he's so loving, why is all this stuff going on? Because he gave you your own free will to make up your own mind concerning whether you want to live for him or live for yourself. And the problem is, folks that are trying to live for God are trying to live for themselves at the same time. And what you produce is a two-headed beast. And guess what comes out of it? Perilous times. Because now you become a bigger problem in the church than the folks outside the church is for the church. Because now you got folks not wanting to come to church because you might be there with your self-righteous self. Go ahead and cut that off. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But he concluded with this, but they shall proceed no further. I know there's a 10th verse, but this goes from 1 through 9. It talks about the issues, the seasons there. 10 begins to talk about something totally different, verse 10. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. And theirs also was. Listen to me. There ain't nothing new under the sun. You ain't get away with nothing nowadays. The Bible also said it, I forgot, when we was reading it says, stay away from them. When you know you got saints that are hellions, why you keep one? You think you gonna change them? You can't change them. Find yourself being like them. We are living in the last days, but it ain't just started. It's been since they first wrote about it in 2 Timothy. We're living in the last days. But you know what's great about it? We have learned more about the kingdom and the authority of God than we've ever learned before. Now it's up to us to make it happen in all of our lives, not so much individually, but corporately. So we all, from whether we're in south, north, east, or west, can reach out and show forth the glory and the love of God the way God intended to be for it to be shown. Not the way we think we should portray it. Everybody's angry. Everybody's just angry. Half of them don't even know what they're angry about. It ain't got nothing to do with them in the first place. But I'm angry because he angry. If he jumped off that bridge, would you gonna jump to? You gonna get about this close and change your mind. Especially once you see him falling and yelling. The moment he leaps off that bridge and he goes to scream, because he's going to scream, because he's going to realize he just made a terrific error. You're going to say, maybe another day, but not today. We keep saying we're waiting on God. How about we change that to he's waiting on us?
All right. Yeah.
How about he's waiting on us? To meet his standards. And it's only one place. It's in this Bible. These are the standards of God, the commandments of God, the word of God, the precepts and the concepts of God. God's waiting on us to meet these. And I have no doubt that we will. We will meet these standards that God is waiting on us to meet. You know why? Because we actually do love him.
Amen.
Not for what he can do, not for what he does, but because of who he is. When I think about the fact, Brother Andy, that God predestinated that I could have the ability to be conformed to the image of God, and God predestinated this in Genesis, that he loved me before I was in my mother's womb.
Man.
You tell me I ain't supposed to love somebody like that? Man, why? Everybody stand. You write down all that stuff, you ain't gonna use all that stuff. We are living in the last day. That's simple. The Bible also tells us that one day is as a thousand years. So if we're living in the last days, and these are perilous times, you better stop counting on your fingers when Jesus is coming. And do all you can within yourself and through Christ to make sure you're right.
Man.
When he busted that eastern sky.
Yeah.
Because he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. We'll say, well, we'll never be put on, but you can be mature. You can be mature to the state where you, when he shows up, you ain't got somebody's name in your mouth.
Right.
Or somebody's hatred in your heart.
Amen.
Or envy of somebody, what somebody else does. Because it says, when he does that, he's going to search the intents of a man's heart. So whatever clothes you got on, you can be looking good like Brother Joel. It don't matter. He's gonna look right through that nice vest and he's gonna say, take somebody by the hand today. Heavenly Father, in thy precious name, first thing we do, we come before you. We come before your throne, and we come humbly, and we come boldly. Lord God, we see the things that are going on in our earth, and we sense the things, and we hear and smell all these things that are happening in our midst and around us. My prayer for us today, Lord, is that even though we're right in the thick of things, that the thickness don't overshadow the glory of your power in our lives. But Father, that we can uphold you in character and in nature. That we'll represent you in love and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Father, in spite of all the hell and the trouble and the tribulation and the stresses and the discouragement that we have to deal with, let us still be able to give you a sacrifice of praise. Meaning that sometimes, Father, we're not going to feel like praise, but we're going to give it to you anyway. Nothing around us looks like it's going to work, but we're going to lift you up anyway. Father, in the midst of these times, Lord, this season of whatever that we're dealing with, I thank you for letting the love and the power of an almighty God reign and manifest itself in our lives, that we might show forth your glory in the earth. Jesus said, when you see me, you see my Father. So when you kill me, I got to relive myself. I got to come back because my Father will not be dead. So that the truth will be told, when you see me, y'all don't hear me today, you see my Father. That's the testimony God wants us to have. So let the prayer, Lord God, strengthen our souls and strengthen our spirits. Encourage us and uplift us, Father. Not to the degree that we want, but to the degree you have already made manifest. We're spending too much time trying to become what you already said we are, and that's holy. So we find ourselves living in defense. The only thing we need to defend is your gospel, Father. Not our lifestyles. They should be self-evident. So in spite of the times, in spite of the perilousness, in spite of the last days, let us represent you in authority, in dominion, in love, in peace, in joy, in goodness, in faith, in mercy, and most importantly, Lord, in temperance, self-control. Father, I believe that you're touching us today. Those that came in here that weren't feeling well. Those that came in here who were discouraged. Those that came in here that were brokenhearted. Those that came in here that were hurt. Father, they're not going to leave here like they came. But in the name of Jesus, I decree by the power of the living God, that you move right now. Because we are a corporate body, Father, and you're flowing through us even like the electricity flows through the lines, Father. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Oh, Jesus.
Thank you.
For just having your way. Father, as we're preparing for the week to come, we know not what we're going to be walking into. But we know one thing, regardless of what it is, that no weapon that's out there has the power or the ability to be better and stronger than the crisis in our lives. So you have your way, Father, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.